Igniting, inspiring, and evoking the fire within. You're listening to the What's Your Inspiration Podcast with Fox Beyer.
Greetings and salutations, everybody. This is the initial What's Your Inspiration Podcast. I'm Fox, and today I have a good buddy of mine on the initial podcast. He's Stuart Lake, 40 years in baseball, 22 as a coach, 17 married to the former Tracy L. Smith, 12 years to his son Hayden, and he has not yet reached his peak. Stu, how are you getting along?
I'm doing good, Fox. 63 degrees and a little cloudy here in Charleston, South Carolina, but hard to complain.
It is hard to complain. I'll complain about the terrible weather here in New Jersey, but maybe we'll move on from that. A little bit more about Stu. Longtime friend, longtime mentor, along with his wife. We met at the University of South Carolina in 1998 when I was a sophomore. He took me under his wing along with his wife and has really showed me in a very quiet way the things to do, and also you can learn what not to do from people as well. So those are many things that I've taken from Stu over the years. He is the current head baseball coach at Charleston Southern University in Charleston, South Carolina. Stu, let's get rolling. I want to know, we're both involved in baseball for years now, but I want to know what the dude, the guy, the man. You get up and you drive into work. What are some quotes that go through your head? What do you hear in your head?
You know, it's really, you know, Fox, the last few years I've been very fortunate that my son, who's just turned 12 last week, is kind of a, we joke, he's the only child, he's kind of an old soul.
He is.
I take him to school every morning and he provokes my thoughts of which way am I going to go that morning. And, you know, I'm driving in, I think more now at 45 years old and even at 35 years old, I have a bigger thirst to learn now than I did then. I think I told someone the other day, the older I get, the more I realize I don't know very much. You know, I need to learn more. So I'm just constantly trying to, you know, I'm a talk radio guy, so I'm a mic in the morning kind of person riding in to listen to conversation and get my thoughts going, but just excited to get here every day.
Got to be, right? And you said it, variety. Just and wanting to learn all the time, I think, gives you passion and purpose, and we can get into that later. You mentioned to me a book that you like very much that examines passion and purpose in your job. Let's go with what does this word mean to you segment.
Okay.
It's got six letters, and the word is Kaizen.
To increase in small increments.
Increments.
You know, a word that we heard years ago, you know, I think it was a word that Coach Berkman shared with Coach Tanner on one of their Olympic tours, and he kind of brought back to our program. And I know you and I, as young assistant coaches at that time, when you're a young coach, you want to have them quick. But we realized that success is going to come in those small victories. Now the end term, I think, is the process. That
yes.
Nick Saban has coined, but it was just that day-to-day victory. And when I hear that word Kaizen, it takes me back, you know, Fox, 15, 16 years, whenever that was.
Yeah.
To the first time it was introduced to me, and it is still, each day, I try to set, what can I get done today? And that's what that word provokes in me.
Yes. Is there any way you would change the definition from success in small increments to anything else?
You know, I don't know. Maybe just a small victory. I think all of us, we live in such a, you know, I've heard it called a microwave society now where everything's got to be done so fast. You know, I think that word slow it down and enjoy those moments. You know, whatever that victory that day is, slow it down a little bit and enjoy it a little more.
Yes, for sure, for sure. You would tell me, you know, 15, 16, 17 years ago as a sophomore in college, Fox, why doesn't he just say steps rather than increments? Why would you use the word increments there? Success in small steps or increments, the word Kaizen. I first heard it come out of Coach Tanner's mouth back in 98 and 99 as a sophomore and junior at the University of South Carolina. So Kaizen. Okay. Any other, you know, you mentioned a quote to me yesterday, and it's what defines you, living life with an accountable urgency. So can you speak to that and sort of tell our listeners how you sort of live by that mantra?
Yeah, Fox, I finished my second year as a head coach here at Charleston Southern. Just had not had much success the first 2 years of getting guys to grab on to what I was wanting. And that summer, I spent the whole summer trying to come up with almost a catchphrase, something you could put on a shirt. And I went through so many words. Kaizen was probably one I went through.
Yes.
I went back through and said, you know, the two things that I see in life that you got to have, you got to be accountable. We had a lot of guys at that time in my program that always it was his fault, her fault, their fault, never their own fault, never took ownership. So accountable. And then the second word I've lived, and you've known me, I really feel I live this truly. You have to have urgency.
Yes.
You know, you've got to understand that there's things you got to get done. And we weren't getting them done. Our practices were taking longer than I wanted. Just everything had no rhythm, and I wanted that urgency to it. So we implemented those two words. And that has become now for 6 years been, and I feel it's really, you know, it's cool for me now when I have former players in pro baseball or going in for an interview at a business. I've had numerous guys tell me that when that guy asked them in an interview, sum yourself up in, you know, five or less words, how accountable urgency pops out of their mouth, and they find themselves going, did I just say that? And those guys going, wow. Explain what that means. And, you know, it is what it is. You have to be accountable in all that you do. Even when you screw up, as you said earlier, if you figure out what not to do, you got to be accountable for that. And then the urgency is we have no calendar. We don't know what we're promised here on Earth. And, you know, Foxy, as I improvise, you know, put those two words in and start using my program, we had a tragedy. Mid-year that year, we lost one of our players in a car accident.
Yes,
and I think the urgency became very obvious to 18 to 22 year old kids that hey, coach is right. We're not promised anything on this earth. We don't know our calendar, and God, I don't want to know. I want to enjoy each day, and when that time comes that there's no more days, then so be it. But it really, and that was 2009. 2010.
Yeah, first, second year at CSU for you, yeah.
And that's been our program's mantra from that day forward is accountable urgency in everything you do with classroom, on the field, society. I've been very proud. I think we're looking right now at maybe our ninth straight semester here with a 3.0 or better than a GPA. You know, it's just those things you can be accountable with, and let's have urgency to it. So that's the big meaning behind that in the story.
It's great. If you all have ever heard Stewart speak, he will, in that manner, he'll get the hairs in the back of your neck just standing up for sure all the time. He's brilliant at it. If you're in the Charleston area, get over and see him. He will have plenty to tell you, and he'll make you a better person just by talking to you. He made me a better person. I mean, him and his wife, I'm a college graduate because of them, and I don't. This is the absolute truth. You, along with your wife and others, changed my life. That experience for those 5 years in Columbia totally changed my life, and you're a reason for it. And it's because of making me understand that you need to live life with accountable urgency. You need to move it. Pitch and play like you are double parked.
Yeah. and Fox, you know, you do it as a coach. I do it as a coach. I think athletes get it when you put that to them. I think that's what we all as athletes do. We understand those two words. So it's been something, and over, you know, the years we were able to share together in Columbia and coaching in summer leagues, as me and you said before this, we could talk every day and tell a new story.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's been a learning curve. It continues, and I hope it continues. That's when I walk away from coaching, when I think I figured it out. And I'm a long way from figuring it out.
Me too. That is 100% the truth. The truth. Yeah. Quotes. All right, so we've not got a couple of quotes. I love the accountable urgency. When I read that, I'm like, that totally depicts you in a nutshell. Next, books. What Stuart does, and when I visited him last, too long ago, he told me, Fox, you should have a book. Not be just reading one book at a time. You should have them everywhere, at your desk, at work, by your nightstand, in your car. And I've carried that on since you last taught me to do that. My question to you is, what books are you currently reading?
I've got a couple going. You know, some that, I'll be honest with you, some that I read over and over.
Yes.
You know, in my car, I like to keep a book by Jeff Duke, 3D Coach, which I don't know if you've read it, but it just, you know, kind of the title itself, it says Capturing the Heart Behind the Jersey. It talks about the third dimension of coaching athletes. We all know about the physical part, that dimension, and that dimension that the public sees. But the third is finding out the guy behind the jersey. One that I'm reading at home, I just started another John Gordon book at home. And then the one that I'm really has just had me mesmerized, I've read it three times this fall, by John Gordon, is The Seed. And it's a book that, in the way that he can do it, talks about finding your purpose. And that, you know, I got so touched by it, I ended up buying one for my entire team and the coaches. And I got one for you, for when I see you. I ended up buying books because it just set some things in there in a way that really touched me.
Okay.
At the time I needed it. For what our program had gone through, with a few other tragedies and some personal things, it just slowed it down a little bit for me to realize your purpose, it's coming, you know. And not to take too much and say with the book, but I've become a big fan of John Gordon. I don't know how much you've read of him, but he's a guy that kind of says it in the way that I understand it. Is the best thing I can say about him.
Yeah, when you read something about something you enjoy, that's when you become a reader. People tell me, I don't like to read. Take a subject matter that you enjoy. You enjoy watching it, and then read about it. And you'd be surprised how much you become a reader. I mean, I think in today's society, it's lost. Would you agree with that, that reading has become sort of a thing of the past?
You know, Fox, absolutely, I do. And I may say this quote wrong. You know, I love quotes, and I don't have it right in front of me. But
hit the kids with it.
I said this to my son about 3 or 4 years ago. And I think Mark Twain was the one that said, the man who does not read is not any smarter than the man who can't read. And
wow,
that has become a big thing in our house.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm very proud of my son. He has his own Kindle. You know, me and my wife have them. We really take turns, kind of, what are you reading? He'll read mine, I'll read his. There's, you know, it's just, to me, one of the gifts that we have as human beings is to be able to read and to be able to learn. And if you're not taking advantage of that, then I don't know really where you go from there. He's 12 years old, he's probably read at least 6 or 7 books in the last, you know, 6 months to a year. You know, that I made him kind of read them and try to grasp it. And I just fall back on that quote again. If the man who does not read is never more intelligent than the man who can't read.
Let that sink in, people. I mean, and I will, again, when this is posted and up, I'm going to, when I do a little write-up, that will be in there. Stu, say that one more time.
The man who does not read. And as he said it, the man who does not take the time to read will find himself no more intelligent than the man who cannot read. And obviously Mark Twain was saying that in an era of our country when there are a lot of uneducated people in our country that just weren't fortunate enough to have learned to read.
Gosh.
So you got to think in kind of when he was saying that, but I still think it holds true now. You know, we have a rule in our house, no phones after 7:30.
That is a thing of absolute beauty.
Yeah, you know, just, you know, something that 2 years ago, just, you know, a coach that I admire told me, goes, you know, turn your phone off at a certain time. You know, we've chosen 7:30. It's there if I need an emergency call, but, you know, let your mind slow down a little bit. You know, you can't turn your phone on and roll over and think you're going to sleep. And so we've just become a big reading family. My wife is a teacher, has always read, and we've just kind of, with the Kindles and what's made it so easy now to download a book, you'd laugh at me. I've got at least 3 books downloaded right now on it, and I read parts. I flip back to my first book ever downloaded on it was my Bill Walsh book.
Love that book.
You know, he and,
Score Takes Care of Itself?
Yeah, The Score Takes Care of Itself.
Yes.
I go back to that book throughout my season. When I'm just down, I go back and read parts of that book. It's so simple and sometimes so over your head at the same time, because the guy was literally a genius.
He was.
And
God rest his soul.
My first book I downloaded on my Kindle.
He's got a great part in that book that I always remember. It's a mathematical equation about attitude and talent, right? And it talks about bad attitude and good talent equals bad talent. Good attitude and bad talent equals good talent. And it's all about, you know, basically, as Coach Tanner would say, make up.
It truly is. The longer I'm in this box, the less I laugh when I hear him say make up.
Yes, yes.
Boy, you see it in everything. I mean, day to day in our country and in sports, you know, Tom Brady with his 201 victory yesterday. I mean, makeup.
Yes, he's got that in leaps and bounds. He is a mental giant, 100%, without question. I wanted to ask you, I wanted to go back to the seed, John Gordon. You know, to me, it's a book, and I haven't read it yet, but from what I've researched, it's a book that measures your passion with your job, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Here's my question to you. How would you tell people, how would you advise people to raise their passion in their jobs if they've lost it?
That's a great question. You know, on a lighter note, when I forget about passion, I love to Google the Ultimate Warriors.
Yes.
When they ask him what his passion, and he, as only the warrior could say, that his passion is his passion. He just loved what he was doing. I think sometimes, you know, I had someone say this to me, Fox, last year. We were having a season that was just frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, I didn't want to get in the office. I was kind of, you know, moping. I had, you know, feeling sorry for myself. And this, my dad said to me, he said, stop letting the things that you don't like about work keep you from enjoying the things you do like.
Well said.
And, you know, I love throwing BP. I love, as you know, sitting in the dugout and talking and laughing. And I love walking around in the outfield when BP's going on and talking to an outfielder. And I had gotten away from that. I was just being distracted with so many different things that 70 to 80% of my day I was doing things I didn't like. And the 20% of the things I did kept getting smaller. You know, to where days there were 100% of things I didn't like. And I really took that to heart. I did this fall in our team practice. You know, I didn't grow up in a family full of coaches.
Right.
You know, like you. I grew up with businessmen and blue-collar workers, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom until she got her secretary job. I think that's every job. I think we get so distracted by what we don't like or the people we don't like that we forget what we do like. And I started writing stuff down, Fox. I went back, you know me, I write down all the
yes.
time, or I'm on the memo pad in my phone. And I started writing down every day 2 things I liked about coaching college baseball And one thing I did, I found out there's only about three or four things I didn't like. Now, they were ginormous in their presence. And then all of a sudden, I had 12 things I did like and maybe only three I didn't. And I said, you know what, I got to figure out how to get these 12 back involved and not let these three be as big.
Exactly. Like an asset list. What do you have things, what things do you have going for you?
You know, the number one thing I have, I'm 45 years old and I honestly feel like I'm 23. You know, and I know it's because of staying around young people.
Yes.
That's a big goal of mine. I just do not want to be around. And I grew up, and I want to make sure you understand, I grew up with a lot of grandparents, great uncles, great aunts, but they didn't act old. They all lived into their 90s. They acted young. So I'm not saying I don't want to be around old people. I don't want to be around people who act old. That's what I don't like being around. I don't like being around, you know, people that, you know, these 20-year-old kids who had their Christmas party the other night, and they have an energy that energizes you.
Yes.
If you'll let it. I love that. You know, I love being a positive coach. You know, everybody really knows when they're not good, but they don't seem to know when they are good. So I try to encourage and maybe, just as you said, begin my 22nd year of coaching, so now I can relate a player to a player. Tell them about
a kid
that reminds me of Marcus McBeth, or, man, you got the arm strength of a Drew Meyer, or, you know, and then you tell them that story of who that kid is. And you and I have been really lucky. We've coached a lot of good players.
We have.
And you know, so a lot of times the guys that we're telling them the story, they know them. You know, I just had two kids play for the Cubs in the World Series that I've coached and recruited. And when I tell a kid, hey, you remind me of Chris Coughlin when he was a freshman, I think that's a compliment. I know I'm giving it as a compliment. But I think they get that, wow. And those are things that I still love about this game. I just enjoy it. It's frustrating as heck. You know that.
Always.
But, man, it's just the stories of it and the times. And, you know, that's what I enjoy the most.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. And, you know, if that's what we'll miss when we're gone. Speaking of stories, and I'll weave this in. In the year 2000, Stuart made me his humble assistant for the Edenton Steamers, a team in the Coastal Plain League in North Carolina. And this has to do with basically with everything, with baseball, with reading, with my love of the beach, and my first name. So the story goes like this, and correct me if I'm wrong, Stuart. I would go to the beach, this little inlet, before on all game days to read. And we had a house mother, God bless her, Ruth. And,
yes.
And
Mama Ruth.
Yeah, Mama Ruth. And I went to the beach this one day, and you were out somewhere. You had gone somewhere. I walked to the beach, and I read, and you told me this story of how when you got home, you asked Ruth, where is he? And she said, Frog is at the beach. She called me Frog.
Absolutely.
Can we confirm that story?
Absolutely, I could. I laughed. I still laugh when you say it, because she was so sweet of a lady.
Yes.
That she was so happy that she had learned your name. Because that was early on.
It was.
I would sit with her. And I'd ask her, have you seen? I think I called you Coach Byer to her.
Okay.
Which I don't do a lot.
No.
I've always called you Foxy.
Right.
That day, I said, have you seen Coach Byer? And she said, I did. I think old Frog went down to the beach. And I started laughing.
He did, right away, didn't you?
And she goes, Frog. And I couldn't comprehend that she was calling you out again. I said, Miss Ruth, who are you talking about? She goes, well, isn't that his name? And both of us then had a laugh. That's not a spot.
Wait a minute. Wasn't it a slip? She actually thought it was my name?
Oh, she said, yeah, she thought that we were calling you Frog.
Stuart, it's been 16 years. You never told me that.
Yeah, well, like I didn't want to hurt your self-esteem. No, she did. She was so embarrassed that day because I think Tracy was still there.
Okay.
Before she had taken off to leave us because it was early on in our Edenton journey.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, I think of you. I ain't trying to change the subject, but I think of you every time I see the Wahlbergs. Because you remember going to see The Perfect Storm with Mark Wahlberg?
Yes. Let's get into this a little bit. Yes.
Oh, I think of that every time at that place.
Now, a couple things about that. It wasn't, I don't think it was that night, but the assistant general manager of the team was Ruth's grandson, Billy. And yep. Billy was 16 at the time. And really, you know, he was great at what he did and wanted to be our friends. And I can remember riding with you, and he said, "Hey, Stuart Fox, I know this great seafood restaurant downtown. Why don't you go?" So we followed him to this place. First things first, we drove through a teeming rainstorm. And I remember asking you, "Stuart, how do you ever see the road?" And you just said, "Well, I just concentrate on something." And we get to this restaurant. The food is less than stellar. Would you agree? Was it less than stellar?
Yeah.
It was less than stellar. And then we get the bill, and Billy, who invites us there, has alligator arms.
Yeah, he pulled the old
forgot the wallet trick.
Yeah, the alligator guy. Yeah.
Did the alligator trick. And I think after that, we ended up watching The Perfect Storm with Mark Wahlberg and said, we kind of felt like he did at the time. We got taken to the cleaners, basically, by silly.
We drove through a tropical storm to get to that place.
We really did. It was an amazing storm, people. I mean, I to this day, I cannot believe how in your blue car we made it there and back. And I think we watched the movie after dinner. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was kind of starting to be middle of the summer, that 4th of July time, as anybody that's involved with summer baseball knows, a little right in the middle where you're starting to get a little tired, but you got a long way to go. So that was I remember that. I remember like it was yesterday thinking, how in the world are we getting to this place? And then, as you said, he pulled the old alligator arm.
The old alligator arm. And then just to carry on a little bit, we're talking about names, how you always you never call me Coach Beyer. I tell people, you know, the story. There's a segment that I do when I go out and do it with Mike's. It's called Answers. And I talk within that about our relationship and how the boys' bathroom at Whippity Park High School reminds me of the boys' locker room at John A. Holmes High School. Which is the high school where we dressed before we became full Edenton Steamers that summer in 2000. And this is great. I tell people that year as a coach, I led the league in one category. And I go around and ask people, what do you think was the category that I led the league in? And they're like, wins? And I go, no, and I wasn't the head coach, so I can't take the wins, as Coach Tanner would tell me, you only get the losses.
Yeah.
And so I go on to tell them that I led the league in getting dressed in full uniform before anybody did in the league on any given day.
Yeah.
Fuff. So the story goes, people. Full uniform fox. So if you recall, Stuart, he's going to die. We had a game. Now, we're in Edenton, and we had a game in Durham. Okay, Durham is 5 hours from Edenton, and for a 7 o'clock game, we left at 11 o'clock in the morning, and I get on the bus in full uniform, and you go, well, there goes Fuff. I said, what? And please explain what Fuff means.
Well, number one, you weren't getting on a luxury bus.
No.
You were getting on an old yellow State of North Carolina public school bus with the slide down windows and I don't know what that tall kind of seat covers that had. And you got on in full uniform, Fox. From that moment on, that was my name for you that summer, was old Fuff.
Fuff.
You got on in pants. I think you had the old white sleeve or maybe gray, whatever. No, we wore the black Eaton Road jersey.
Yes, we did.
I think you already had it on, socks, your coaching shoes. It was just pure classic Fox to get on that bus for a game that was 8 hours. And you were going to throw BP or do something. You weren't going to get to go sit in the dugout. You knew that.
No.
Never was going to do that. So it's just, I still use that kind of people now when coaches get on the bus. We have a short day game and a guy get on in full uniform. I hit him with the old Fuck. And yeah. I have to tell him the story.
Oh, do you?
A lot of my old players start laughing. Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. I got pitchers that pull a Fuck on road games where they can not forget something, don't have to change when they get there, the whole, you know, whatever. Yours was, I think you wanted to get there and just be ready to go.
Yeah. I tell people it takes me 4 times as long to get dressed as it does for the average bear. So guess what? I'm just going to do it and get it the heck out of the way.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, crazy story. Now, how does this trip to Durham end? Do you remember?
I think that's the one. Was this the trip when I tried to get ejected?
No, we actually didn't even play the game, Stu. We got into town and got a phone call that the field, Durham Athletic Park, was unplayable.
I forgot that one. I remember that now.
Unreal.
Yeah, I remember. God, I had forgotten it totally that you said it. But what was our outfielder from North Carolina? Because he had all his family coming.
Sean Farrell.
Sean Farrell had all his family and friends were just driving over to see him. And I don't even remember driving through any rain.
No, I don't either. I know that it was a very wet summer in 2000. Yep. We had a lot of postponements and cancellations. There was a lot of rain the day before. But, you know, we got on the bus and it was actually a beautiful, beautiful day. I can remember passing the sign for Tarboro and our driver, John, saying, boy, once I get to Tarboro, I know I'm getting somewhere. And then I ask you, how far is Durham from Tarboro? And you're like, 3 hours. And I said, oh, dear.
Oh, God, I forgot that. I think I tried to.
Yes, I think I just brought back some very, very bad memories.
Remember that.
Good.
I remember turning around now.
So
for some reason, because we had to eat. Oh my goodness!
Yes, just unbelievable. So for the record, you know, if you get close to me, like I am with Stuart, I'll take Fuff or Frog occasionally, but Fuff more often than Frog, please.
Yeah, definitely. More Fuff than Frog.
I did not realize that Ruth actually thought Frog was my name. I thought it was a slip. Oh, my God.
She was a sweet lady. She was embarrassed. And I didn't realize I never told you, so I kept my promise to her for 16 years.
Yes.
So it wouldn't hurt the feelings.
Okay. We just
broke
it out here in the initial What's Your Inspiration podcast. So we've talked about quotes, and I'm going to, again, post those, the one from Stuart's dad, Larry, and then his own quote about an accountable urgency, and the one about reading as well, and how important it is to read. Those things are definitely going to go somewhere on social media and on my website after this. Awesome stuff. Next, how about movies? Let's talk about movies that have inspired you and the latest one that we've watched that really had an impact on us. So, current movie you're watching, or have watched, I should say.
Well, I do a lot of Netflix. We're traveling a lot. You're in hotels or whatever you do. And I listen to a lot of classic rock in the afternoons. I don't know, those guys seem to help me relax when I'm headed home. More
hey, Bon Scott can do that.
And the guy told me on the radio, he said, if you got an hour and a half on Netflix, you got to watch Super Mitch. And I'm going, what did he just say? And I got home, I Google searched it, you know, on Netflix, and really I thought of you and I.
Yes.
From the story that it tells of you know, and I'll let you kind of tell a little bit about it. It's you and I, you know, having fun and having friends. And I think it's the baseball part of us, just always loving to have friends around and telling good stories. And,
yes.
And that's what this movie reminded me of.
Yeah, it's and not to get too far into it because I want people to watch it. Supermensch on Netflix about Shep Gordon. And Shep was graduated, I think, from the University of Buffalo, correct me wrong, in the late 60s.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know, went from job to job. Things weren't working out. Next thing you know, he is in Los Angeles. And I perked up when he said, I looked up and there was Jimi Hendrix. And I said, well, wait a minute. I'm left-handed. When I put a guitar and try to play a guitar, I think of Hendrix. There's that old line, I'm going to get my Hendrix on. And yeah. And then he said that he became manager by default in a lot of situations. He managed the band Pink Floyd for 9 days. And the stories and the travels, the trials and tribulations that he went through, an astute businessman, and just somebody. Shep Gordon is somebody that I've learned that could get along with anybody, and he could fix any doggone situation. Agreed, yeah, Stu?
Oh, absolutely. I made my coaches, my assistant coaches, you know, got to watch it because he said something in it that I think we've forgotten a lot as coaches. Heck, I think we've forgotten a lot just kind of in society. He said, I've made a living out of making sure everybody else is happy.
Right.
You know, as he talked about, you know, I just never tried to figure out what was good for me. I tried to figure out what was good for, you know, my clients or my friends. And it's really cool. You know, I think a part of history that we forget a lot of times, how did these people become famous?
Right.
You know, we think they did it on their own. I mean, you know, names that our age know of, Alice Cooper and the people that you just think were one thing until you get to see them in that context and realize how smart they were.
Yes.
I mean, I think that's what we forget, you know, with successful people. Yeah, there's some of them are lucky, but most of them get lucky because they're so intelligent, they put themselves in situations to get lucky.
Exactly.
And like you said, not to tell too much of it, but I'd love to spend a few days in Maui with him. It probably would turn into a couple of weeks for me and you as well.
Yes, it would. He's referencing Mike Myers, who produced, directed the actual documentary. He said he was going through, and Mike Myers, if you don't know, is an actor, director, Wayne's World, probably most famous. A bunch of other movies I think are hilarious. But he's going through a tough time in his life. Got in touch with Shep, and Shep Gordon has an open door policy with his place in Maui. He'd come in and stay as long as you'd like. You know, Mike Myers went to stay for a weekend, and it turned into how long, Stu? 2 weeks or 2 months?
I think it might have been 2 months.
Yes, yes.
I think it was 2 months, and you know, it's just funny because you know they asked Shep, and he laughs, and he goes, "I don't know how long he was there. I wasn't counting days."
Right.
You know, he was there as long as he wanted to be there. And there was no timeline and, you know, for him to, you know, he was having a tough time in his life, and which is amazing when you think back to here's a guy that was having issues. You know, think of the success that you just said from Saturday Night Live to,
right,
to the Wayne's World to Austin Powers to just numerous things that he's been a part of.
Right.
To think that guy needed that kind of break. It showed all of us need a, you know, we all need a Shep Gordon, I think, somewhere in our life.
We do. I think you represent that for me, for certain. Just thinking about it, talk about quotable. We're talking about quotes and books and stuff like that. Quote from Shep, "There is no intrinsic value in fame." I thought, you know, wow, of all the people he's managed, for him to say there is no intrinsic value in fame, that must be true. And the other, you know, if you like the quote, the following quote, "Forget yourselves, forget yourself, and no one will forget you," this is a documentary for you to watch. Supermensch on Netflix. And you texted me that last week, and that night I watched it and was just kind of mulling around and thought, but then when he started when he said, there was Jimi Hendrix, I said, whoa, wait a minute.
No.
I think we're on to something. And I was glued. I did not get up.
No.
I did not eat. I just locked in for the next 2 hours. What a ride. Supermensch.
I did too.
Shep Gordon. All right. Movies. Moving on to music. Stu, you mentioned this to me. What is the band, the music you are currently listening to?
Foxy, I'm 45, so the 90s were good memories.
Oh, man, you kidding?
We travel, you know, so much on the bus that, you know, just a song that I got back into Pearl Jam.
Yes.
I missed it. I wanted to hear them again. And you know, when me and I were talking about what have you listened to lately, well, that was one of them I'd listened to lately.
Gotcha.
It was one of my favorite bands. Obviously, and just really enjoy them.
Gotcha.
You know, and that's been my latest one. You know, I'm all over the place with music.
We are. We, you know.
I'm going to listen to AC/DC usually at least once in a day.
Got to.
Find time to do it. But I really just been back into, you know, the Pearl Jam, and that's been my thing here lately.
Gotcha. Stu, you're a little bit muffled. I don't know if there you go. Probably a bit better. Story about Stuart. And I in the years. Correct me if I'm wrong, Stuart. 2004, 2005, 2006. You were coaching at Ole Miss, correct?
Correct.
Yep. 2004, 2006. So I get a call on a Friday afternoon from Stuart, and he leaves a message, and he says to me, just want to let you know here that in Oxford, it is a Dirty Deeds, Done Dirt Cheap weekend on a local radio station. And if you know Stuart and I at all, we're throwing batting practice, and Thunderstruck comes on. We throw a little bit harder, and we're a little bit more wild.
Oh, the best.
It is the best.
I still think of you and TNT.
Of course.
For PFP, obviously.
Yes.
That's our stuff, and it's still good. It still makes me feel a little bit better when I hear it.
Yes, and obviously you're the first person that comes to mind when I hear AC/DC. For, you know, a while back, Stu, on Sirius Radio, they were going to have an AC/DC channel. And I'm telling you, if that stayed on the air, I would have so many speeding tickets, you wouldn't believe it.
No question. You'd be walking.
Yeah, I'd be walking.
License from you.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a pretty sight, people. Hey, back to Pearl Jam. Like you, Stu, once the Pearl Jam got their own channel on Sirius, I really have gotten back into it. I am a Pearl Jam fiend. It is mostly in my car all day, every day, and I can basically sing along, although you don't want to hear me, to a lot of their songs. But let's do a little Pearl Jam trivia here, Stu. I've got a question for you. As Pearl Jam fiends, you and I. The B-side song Black, Red, and Yellow is about what ex-NBA basketball star?
Wow.
I'll say it again. The song, if you know it, people, shout it out. The song Black, Red, and Yellow is about what ex-NBA basketball star?
I'm thinking. That's the sound of me thinking, what you heard there. Oh, man. I'm going to throw out a name that's probably not right, but I got to guess.
Just think about it a little bit more. I think you've got it.
Funny to me, the Worm is coming to mind, Dennis Rodman, but I know it's not that.
You would be absolutely correct, sir. It is indeed about. It is.
Is it really?
Sean Connery reference. You are correct. Or Ed McMahon, I should say. Yes, it is totally about Dennis Rodman. Big Pearl Jam fan as well. Again, B-side hit. Listen to it tonight. It's called Black, Red, and Yellow. It's a great jam. I'm going to go out walking tonight, and people aren't going to like to see it. And I will have Black, Red, and Yellow on my iPod blaring.
Awesome.
So,
So, the worm.
About the old worm. You talk about a guy who played like he was double parked and accountable urgency, like you were saying before. That's the way he played the game. Agreed?
Oh, no question. No question. You forget that guy started out with the old Detroit team.
Yes.
I remember him with the Bulls and kind of in the middle and end of his career. Well, he played with some tough guys.
He did.
And was a young guy.
Yep.
On a tough old veteran team.
Yes, and you mentioned Microwave Society. He played with the Microwave.
He did. I mean, just really that whole team, were all stars, and he was such a kid to learn from them. It goes to show why he could win titles with every other team that made him a part of them as he went on.
Absolutely. The Worm, Black, Red, and Yellow from the band Pearl Jam. Now, back to some storytelling. It is, keep in mind this. In 1998, I was a team manager for the University of South Carolina baseball team, and Stuart was an assistant coach. And when we weren't in fall practice or in spring practice, we had something called skill work. So players would come in groups of four and practice for an hour at a time after they went to class. And at the old Sarge Frye Field, the University of South Carolina, on those days in the middle of the week, in late October, early November, there were bands that would play down the street. And yeah. Stuart does some great impressions and impersonations, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But I can recall the song Even Flow coming on from the Beyond the Right Field Wall, and you could tell this day that I was a little tired, and you kind of wanted to boost my spirits a little bit. And there was the guitar solo from Even Flow up, and you got a bat, and you made believe that you were playing the guitar, and if you remember, you played it, and I basically fell on the ground in laughter.
Yeah, it was, those guys were playing in storage buildings.
Yes.
Right behind, and they got after it.
They did.
I mean, there was no question. Yeah, I remember that. I had the old SSK Fungo, and
yes.
I felt like Gene Simmons on that thing.
You did, Gene Simmons. Mike McCready. And Stuart, I'm actually going to play right now the guitar portion. And if this were video, viewers would get to see your guitar skills. So if you can hear it, Stu, grab anything that looks like a guitar in your car and begin to play this solo. I don't know if you can hear it. Let's see. I'm going to crank it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right here, people. He's playing this right here. It's coming up. This one part where I just fell on the ground. Just a little tickle coming up here. Just jam to it, Stu. We got it. Here it comes.
Oh, we got it.
Who's playing this? Here it goes. Right here. He just lets it roll.
Oh, yeah.
Here it is, right here, coming up. This part. That.
I thought it did pretty good.
You really did. And we'll let that run for a minute, but... as we go, yeah, Pearl Jam, they've got a new album out as a couple years ago called Lightning Bolt. A couple of tracks off there I love. Pendulum and Sirens. Have not seen them live, but was going to go a couple years ago. I know you went to a Motley Crue concert, and he calls me out of the blue at this Motley Crue concert and uses the phrase rockin', rape, and roll, and again, I just fell to the ground. Yeah. A reference from...
Yeah, it was, those guys, I think a year or two ago when they quit touring, if you ever wanted to go to something and not have to worry about any problems, Motley Crue was the place to go. And it was fun. It was just good times. Yeah, listen to those guys. And people acted like they were all teenagers, even though they weren't.
Uh-huh.
And, Tommy Lee, Vince Neil, those guys, they get it done.
They do. And again, there's a story you told me about how Vince Neil had just blown up his knee before one of the concerts. And really, you got insight on how he was able to stand just in all of that pain made me like him even more.
Yeah, he just refused in Memphis. to cancel that concert because it had been one of the initial ones that had sold out. So he got a few dancers, we'll call them, the dressed nurses, out and help him stand up so he could do his show. It was incredible, honestly, to know how seriously he had hurt his knee and he wasn't canceled.
Just, I mean, talk about rubbing some dirt on it or whatever, and just getting after it. A guy, again, success was not by accident. The guy worked at it. They all worked at their craft from Tommy to Mick to Vince, 100%. And we can't forget the Nikki Sixx, of course. And that guy is super talented and very, how should we say, philanthropical as well from what I know of him.
He has a show that comes on every night on our classic rock station here, and I listen to him. He's a really intelligent guy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you talk about a rock and roll lifer. That is Nikki Sixx. That is all of the members of the band Motley Crue. So good stuff. Good stuff. Now, how about people? We good on time, Stu? Are you good to go?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay, we'll just keep rolling. There is no time limit to the podcast. What is your inspiration? Again, I'm Fox Fire. I'm chatting with CSU, Charleston Southern University, Buccaneer head baseball coach, Stuart Lake, or as I call you, Dr. DiBiase. people that have influenced you and make you who you are, make you Stuart Lake, Stu, the dude, the guy, the man, who are they?
I could never start this list without saying my granddad. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a guy that I'm so fortunate to have around us. And my grandfather lived about 95, 96, mm-hmm. healthy, you know, almost just to the very end. And just, you know, it was a polio survivor, you know, was a baseball, just in love with it, you know, our whole life. He played it professionally. All of us, there were six of us, you know, five boys, one girl, all five played baseball, and our one girl in our family married a baseball coach. And we know it came from our, not only my granddad, but my grandmother. They were they just put things in perspective, you know, Fox, my granddad would say, you know, when people would say the good old days, there were no good old days. The good old days, they told my mom I had polio, keep him comfortable, and he'll be dead in a year.
Oh, my gosh.
That wasn't the good old days. He said, nowadays, for what we can do, you know, in the medicine, and he was just probably at his age, one of the most realistic people that I've ever been around. And still missing, is it's almost 10 years now since he's been gone. I still quote him. And think of things he taught me. So he would be number one on my list.
Again, people, never met the man. You can be sure that Stuart is a reflection of his granddad. Now, I don't know if this was your granddad or your grandmother would give you relationship advice and advice to a long-lasting relationship. And I don't know if it was your grandmother or your grandfather that talked about just turning the page. Who was that?
It was my grandmother.
It was your grandmother. Turn the page or change
like
the channel. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, you know, that was her way of telling us that, you know, I was the youngest of all the boys in the family, and she'd watched us all, I guess, go through the moments you go through growing up and finding the right people in your life. And I was complaining one day, and you know, she gave me that. She knew I was a Bob Seger fan, too, I think.
Right.
You know, it's just time.
Bob Seger.
Time.
Yes.
It's time to turn the page on this one. And I remember it, honestly, it was 1995 when she said it to me, 96. Because right in there, I was starting in South Carolina, and, you know, you and I hadn't even met yet. I was a pro umpire at the time and kind of, you know, in the middle of that stage of my life. And that's what she said to me. Time to turn the page. We've all heard enough of that story.
Right.
And I did, and I was fortunate. I met Tracy within days. Mm-hmm. Honestly, of her saying that to me, and you know, we just celebrated our 17th anniversary, but our 20th year, you know, being friends.
December 4th, 1999.
Yeah, have a pity party.
December 4th, 1999, your wedding, yeah, 17 years strong. December, yeah, 4th. I'm getting it right.
Yeah.
Right? I'm getting
yeah.
it right.
You're right on it.
Outstanding. Outstanding. I know my dates. I wanted to also ask you about your dad. And you, as a storyteller, you've got a great story about your dad. He was on his motorcycle. It's about a motorcycle, a pair of glasses, and a bumblebee.
he was a guy that he could have one when we were young, but he never let me and my brother have one as we were teenagers. We had dirt bikes and all those old things, but yeah, he wore one. He says not going too fast, but right in the face. And it sounds so stupid to think you can run into a bee and it hurts. Oh. But if you've ever driven a motorcycle, and if you have any idea what a bumblebee looks like, those two at 70 plus miles an hour are not a good combination. And he wore that one.
He did. At least. Shattered his glasses, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, just was really, he ended up putting a windshield. He had a more of a cruiser type bike. It wasn't a Harley Davidson, that kind of thing. It was just one you get out and ride. And that was kind of the end. It was kind of always sad to see him get rid of it, but he said, I didn't dodge that bullet. I actually got hit by the bullet. I'm going to count my losses.
Right, right.
And move on. Yeah, he got back into trucks and cars.
Got you. Get a very Stewart's dad, a very quotable man, Mr. Larry Lake himself. Now,
yeah, he puts it pretty simple.
He does. He does. It's a great story. I love that story. Stuart, how about name that person? We'll do a little name that person quotable.
Okay.
So we've done quotes. We didn't do any movie quotes. We could have, but we'll do name that person. Some of you around might know who said this. So who said this? Name that person, Stuart. The quote goes like this. Off your ass and on your feet. Got to get up so we can eat.
I don't know. What was that?
I'll say it again. It goes like this. Off your ass and on your feet. Got to get up so we can eat.
You got me on that one.
So that is actually Coach Tanner's dad.
Yes. I remember that match you gave me on that one.
Right. And Coach Tanner would just tell me, off and on. And I asked him, what? Off and on. I was sitting on the pitcher's mound after practice. You had all gone to the weight room one day. This is around 2000.
Yeah.
And he walks back, and he's about to go up the stairs and looks at me and goes, off and on. I go, what? Off and on. What? Off your ass and on your feet. Got to get up so we can eat. In other words.
Oh, that's great. I remembered off and on so much. I forgot that.
So that
wow.
is, that's Coach Taylor.
That's a good one.
Yes. The next one is, and you'll know this right away, but it goes like this. If you are not evaluating what you're doing, you need to evaluate why you're not evaluating what you're doing. We have silence.
Sounds like Jerry Myers.
We'll say it one more time. If you are not evaluating what you're doing, you need to evaluate why you're not evaluating what you're doing.
Is that Fred Jordan?
It's indeed Fred Jordan, and I... actually got that from
Hall of
you.
Famer.
Got that from you. Hall of Famer, Citadel class of 1979.
Yes.
You can believe it. He was one that would say, if you can't hit a... He said the thing about if you cannot... You can't be a coach unless you can hit a fungo out of a big league ballpark or something along those lines. But a tough, tough individual. Quotable man. If you're not evaluating what you're doing, you need to evaluate why you're not evaluating what you're doing. So
that's Coach Jordan.
That's Coach Jordan himself. We'll do one more. One more, Stuart. Quotable. Keep one hand on the wheel and one foot on the gas. These struggles you'll face, they are real, and you can tell them to kiss your ass. I'll say
it again just to hear it again.
Okay. It's sing song. Use it not. Keep one hand on the wheel and one foot on the gas. These struggles you'll face, they are real, and you can tell them to kiss your ass.
I'm getting late in the day, Foxy. I'm getting tired. Who was that?
That's okay. First, which quote do you like the most out of those three?
You know, I probably do the Coach Jordan one now more than any of the others.
Got it.
I'm constantly, you know, as a head coach, you got 40 players. You know, you got about 5 or 6 assistant coaches. You feel like you're evaluating your evaluations every day.
Yes, yes.
So I mean, think that one has probably come the closest to me of all those.
Gotcha.
That would be the one for me.
Gotcha. What's number two?
I love all of them.
Yeah. What's number two?
You got to like the Coach Tanners.
Gotcha.
You ain't going to get nothing to eat if you don't get up and get out.
That's true. Unless you're me, you're 12 years old, you're in a cast, and you got to get you something to eat. But hey, you got to do what you got to do. Stuart, that third quote is from my book, Letter Kindling. So,
Yes.
Now, Letter Kindling, igniting, inspiring, invoking the fire within. It's available. Please, people, let's do a plug for me and my website, foxbuyer.com. If you like that quote, other quotables in a book of poetry entitled Letter Kindling, Igniting, Inspiring, Evoking the Fire Within.
I love it. I got that book in my office.
Yes, you did.
I actually got a copy of that book in my home office.
Yes.
I love flipping through it. You got a lot of great insight.
Yes.
And really brings it back. It's worth it. Everybody listening, I tell you, it's a great little Christmas gift.
Tis. Thank you, Stuart, again. So, foxbuyer.com if you would like. Let's do some others. Common song lyrics that are messed up. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see here. Or I should say a song title that's messed up. Okay? this song is from the Black Crowes. Is the name of the song, Stuart, Tyson's Car Wash or Twice as Hard? Tyson's Car Wash or Twice as Hard?
We'll go with B.
Twice as Hard is correct. I'm actually one that thought it was Tyson's Car Wash. So I looked at it yesterday. It said Twice as Hard. Okay. From the Ramones, is the song Blitzkrieg Bop or Let's Creep Up? Blitzkrieg Bop or Let's Creep Up?
Sounds like I gotta go with Ace.
So you're going with Blitzkrieg Bop?
Yeah.
You are correct. It is not Let's Creep Up. I thought for years that it was Let's Creep Up. So I'm showing my what would you call it? Lack of knowledge, I guess.
Yeah.
So, okay, Stuart, to wrap up today, before we go, Stuart and I are going to embark on a speaking tour, and we spoke of this a couple nights ago over the phone. Life is short. We don't know when it's going to end. We want to speak to your organization if you'd have us. And the basic premise is, through storytelling, here are some things you should do. Here are some things you might not want to do. In other words, let our insight become your foresight. So if you are interested in us having to speak at your organization, please fire me an email off my website, foxbuyer.com, foxbuyer.com. And we'd be glad to speak to your group or organization. Sound good, Stu?
Absolutely. I look forward to it. You know, you and I talk all the time, and really just, I feel like I learn when I listen to you with your stories. And,
yes.
And I've just been very lucky to some of the stuff that's happened around me that I've tried to pay attention to, and I'd love to share it with people, and hopefully we help them, and nothing else, get a few laughs, because we'll tell a few funny stories.
Yes, laughter is great medicine. And before we do the last segment, do want to tell you, Stu, that you, along with your wife, changed my life for sure. That is no lie, because of the influence that you've had on me. And I, as a person and a coach, am forever a reflection of you.
I appreciate that, because we were fortunate to become friends in a time in our life that was really special.
Gotcha.
And it's kept us, you know, joined, and I can't wait to the day again we're in the same dugout again. That's going to happen one day.
100% sure. 100% sure. In the meantime, at a library, or coffee shop, or concert hall near you, Stuart Lake, Fox Buyer. Now, final segment, we talk about the impact that words have on us, the impact that books have had on us, the impact that movies have had on us, and the impact that people have had on us as Stuart Lake and Fox Buyer, the dudes, the guys, the men. When they have an impact on you, frequently we're prone to impersonate them. You are a great impersonator, and I want to give you a choice, if you would, if you're up for it, final segment, impersonate one of three people. Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Okay. He does some great impersonations. One could be former coach of the Cleveland Browns, Sam Ratigliano. Okay. Former movie star and TV show host, Jack Palance, or former, and God rest his soul, along with Jack Palance, former University of South Carolina sports information director, Tom Price. Stuart, who are you going to impersonate? And then I'll give a little background.
Well, those are some tough ones because...
Well, you're good at them.
I know. I really enjoy talking old Metro Conference days. You know that.
Yes.
And bringing up tales from the Gamecocks Roost.
Great book.
I have to go with Jack Palance.
Okay, we are not going to go Tom Price. No mention of Sam Ratigliano. We are going to go with Jack Palance. Now, here's the story again. It's late 90s. We are at Skillwork, and it's August, beginning of September. And I am at the Gatorade jug getting some water. And Stuart just taps me and says, "Fox, how are you?" And I guess I sounded like Jack Palance when I said, "I'm doing good." And he stopped. Stuart stopped, and he said, "Fox, you just sound like Jack Palance." And I said, "Who?" The guy Curly from City Slickers. And then basically whenever we see each other, and at least once within that day, we talk in his voice. And my favorite story about his voice and him himself is Stuart... Tim Medlin, the former coach at Newberry College, were on our way from Columbia, South Carolina to Lynchburg, Virginia to do a camp. And somehow or another, you ask Coach Medlin, "How is your day going?" And Coach Medlin could do a great Palance impression as well. And he said in Palance's voice, "The day is not over yet." And I think we all just lost it. So... Stuart, I will give the mic to you. Your best Jack Palance impression.
Well, as you know, I've always got a story prior to the story.
Cool, please go. Yes.
So I'm sitting around this weekend. There's some friends here. We're trying to, help a young woman that she's kind of starting to get into the dating. And she looked at me, and she said to me, she goes, "What I think is the coolest thing about a guy is confidence." Well, then you know exactly where I went.
Okay,
because I then dropped into my Jack Palance mode. Take a deep breath. And I looked at her as only Jack Palance could say, and I said to her, what you would say after splashing on some skin bracer. I said, "Thompson is very sexy." And she started laughing.
And oh, that's good.
What? And I had to tell her the whole story, and it's maybe not as good over a phone, of Jack Palance. But boy, Fox, did he not sum it up that confidence is very sexy?
Every time
I think of success, we talk about successful people, and this is what we'll talk about too many times. That confidence, whether you're a guy or a girl, that is sexy.
It is very sexy.
Confidence in yourself.
dare I say, it's the sexiest thing that someone could have is, as you would say, confidence. Stuart, that sounded amazing, by the way. I actually had to hold my nose. I am so glad that we did this via phone, because I don't know. I think your impersonation would have made it better, but the sound, please, just go on to a Skin Bracer commercial on YouTube, and you'll know that Stuart, as he said, I use Skin Bracer. It smells great.
Yeah, no better than Jack Palance. But Foxy, I really, man, thank you so much for letting me be on and to be the kickoff.
Yes.
To what I hope will be a lot more, because I love your books. I love watching these, and I'm honored that you would let me be on here with you.
It's a blast, Stu. And as a mentor and a brother, you know, I don't say this lightly. I love you like a brother. Always have.
Well, same here. You know that, and you're one of this game brings a lot of special people into your life, and you're one that came into mine, and my wife Tracy, and now Hayden calls you Uncle Fox. I mean, it's just a special part. You're part of our family. You know, baseball brought you in, and all the special parts of our lives kept us together. So I'm honored to do it, and I look forward to doing it again with you.
Thank you, Stuart. It, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you very much. Stuart, do you want to announce any camp dates you'll have at CSU and your home opener, things like that?
Yeah, we do. We've actually got one coming up. We do a winter. We call it a prospect camp. It's, you know, ages 13, the high school seniors coming up. 2 weeks from now, a little less, December 17th, on our campus. You get a chance to be evaluated by our coaching staff. Get to have a campus tour. I try to really make it a college camp. You know, you're on a college campus. I want you to know about, you know, what you can and cannot do recruiting. I want you to know about our program. And that's a one-day camp. It's December 17th. You can go on Stuart Lake Baseball Camps. Everything's right there online. You can sign up online. You can see our future dates. We have some in the summer and different things we'll do too. And then we open up. I think, Fox, I'm right on this, February 17th.
Yes. Okay.
I think we've got Delaware State coming to Charleston. We open up with 11 straight home games. You know, get back online with you here later and talk more schedule. But we've got a really good schedule. We've got 30 home games and a lot of exciting stuff happening around our ballpark.
Gotcha. Great. And again, people, if you think that Stuart and I are people that would help your organization through speaking, please fire me an email via my website, foxbeyer.com. That's FOXBEYER.com. Couple of thank yous. I want to thank, first of all, from Small Business Radio, Tony Wilkins, for pushing me to do this podcast. Tony, thank you very much. Greg Taylor of Marketing Press really got me going with the bells and whistles of how to host a podcast. And the inspiration for our title came from none other than my sister, Miss Julia Beyer. So, Tony, Greg, Julie, thank you. Stuart, it has been a blast.
Oh, I've enjoyed it. And anytime I can be back on, you please let me know and I'll be here.
That's what I was going to ask you. Can you please come back on? Do I have your word?
You got my word. You know that. We got a lot more stories to tell.
We do. We do. They do not end there. So,
no.
Well, people.
We're close.
Nowhere close. Nowhere close. People, that was the initial What Is Your Inspiration podcast. Stuart and I will talk at you all later. Take good care.
You've been listening to the What's Your Inspiration podcast with Fox Beyer. Because impact on each other is the greatest currency you could ever have.
Pimples, trinkles. It's 11th grade. I look in the mirror and I could cry. My face is so pimple-laced and dry. Going out, I just dread. I'd sooner put a bag over my head. My face is the ultimate roadblock. With a single glance, my grill could stop a clock. Looks good, sure, only in the darkest subway station. And has so many craters like the longest space exploration. Stick a fork in me, I'm done. Oh, that sun when I was 21. There's a cute number there I do want to beat. Tell me, how do I get rid of these crow's feet? I close my eyes and I wake up. I'm 37 years old, what the heck? Going out, I just dread. I'd sooner put a bag over my head. From Clearasil, to Botox, to all the fixings to roadblocks. From pimples to wrinkles, life without mirrors would be a lot more simple.